Father, I thank you for your word that is alive, that's like a two-edged sword. And Lord God, we just thank you that you are here to meet with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, so I want to just sketch I wear the glasses now. Your turn will come. Just to maybe give you some background, this chapter 24. Just before this, Israel is now in the promised land, and Joshua is checking out. He's about to book into heaven, so he's been chatting to the leaders and so on. And in chapter 24, he summons whole of Israel, all the tribes, and he says, "Kom, die Here wil met julle praat." So all the tribes are there, and Joshua basically then starts telling them what God says. Now, it's interesting, the first couple of chapters from verse 1 to verse 10, God basically states to them where he's brought them from. You know, "I've taken you out of Egypt. Yes, you were in slavery, and I've taken you from there and taken you through the desert," and all these things. And now God has just miraculously removed his nation from a place of oppression. Okay, so what I'm going to do tonight is I want to take this journey of Israel, and I'm just going to relate it to our lives, and hopefully through that, the Holy Spirit will press some buttons, and you know, you will grow. Is that okay with you? All right, so let's see what God does here. Okay, so this first couple of verses is for us to recognize that we all have a past. Congratulations, you are a winner. You have a past. It's terrible, sorry. And stuff happened, right? Stuff happened in your past, stuff happened in my past. The problem is most of us fall apart about the past. So biblical counselor, stop it. Right. It was makkelijk. Now you're all free. Okay, so we all have a past, and we must remember that and not really despise what we have come from. And in verse, if we look at our past, if you go and sit still, you know, when I got born again, by long terug, that was more or less in 1989. Yeah, it's been a while. I sat there one day and I was thinking, you know, about this thing that's now happened to me. And I said that I thought, wow, you know, what God actually showed me in that stage was just how through my life's journey, through school and all that kind of stuff, how he's actually protected me. And I stood there and I went, wow. You know, I didn't serve God. I grew up a very nice religious dude. My parents went to church and dragged us with. And we were there because they said, "Butiki, ons gaan kerk toe." So that's why I was there. And I didn't have a relationship with God. But when I gave my life to Christ, I suddenly realized, and I sat in and I looked, and I could see how he protected me through my life. And listen, I wasn't one of those rover oaks that, you know, were in clubs. I was in one club, goeie genade, never again. It cured me. That was rough. In any case, I was never into those things. But I tell you, if you know my family is rough. These guys, me and parties, man. If there's not a fight at the family gathering, it's not normal. And something was nie reg nie, all right? My cousins was, ek het maar so teruggestaan, because hulle sal jou, any case. So I actually looked at this and I realized how God protected me from a lot of opportunities, a lot of situations, a lot of things in my life that could have changed, could have made my whole life completely different. And what he said to me in that moment is I protected you for the purpose that I've had you. And I stood there amazed. Now, listen, God might not have protected you in the same way, but go and sit still, look at your past and say, "What have you done, Lord?" Because, you know, sometimes we look at our past and we go, "Yes, it is a rover past." You know, so, yeah, if you know me now, yeah, you haven't seen me then. But go take the time, I challenge you, go sit down, and just say, "Lord, what have you done? Where were you?" And you might be surprised to see. So God is basically just reminding them, listen, dudes, I have removed you from Egypt. I was there all the way. I mean, you know I was there, and I protected you. And I want to pick up the story in verse 11. So if you want to read with me, and I think I've got a different version there, but I'm going to read out of the NIV here. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Gergesites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, but I gave them into your hand. Now, listen, I tell you, if I fight against so many ites. Yeah. So God says to them, listen, you have now crossed over into the promised land. And as we sit here tonight, if I can relate this to us, you know, many of us are in a place now where, you know, you have a past, but you, in a sense, you now crossed over to the other side, to the promised land. You know, all of us want to be in the promised land. I tell you, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord of Savior, then you are in the promised land. Because this is the place where God now wants to bless you super abundantly. Okay, but if you read the story, he says, but, you know, you had to war against these guys. How many of you know when they entered the promised land, you know, crossing the river, the first thing they had to do is take Jericho. And, I mean, obviously it happened miraculously. And as they walked around that city, I wonder how you get Jews to keep quiet for 7 days and on the last day many times, okay? So the journey, in a sense, when the walls fell down, they actually had to take that city. So it was through war that they actually took that city. Okay, so God reminds them that, hey, you are in the promised land. And in our lives, we need to recognize what God is doing. What God is busy doing right now. And it's interesting, in verse 12, he says, "Is I sent the hornets ahead of you." Now, I don't know if you, how many of you messed with hornets before, but I remember we were on holiday once, and I was running away from my brother, and I climbed into this tree to hide from him, and as I climbed, I felt something, boom, and suddenly I just heard, zzz, and I tell you, is he reclaiming Roy Parabakis? How many of you have met them? Tell you, that thing is nasty. No, you will not meet me. All right, just by the way, don't go there. But I tell you, I've never descended from a tree so quickly ever in my life. And I ran for life. Now, when I read that, I thought, you sent the hornets against, you know, before your people, and you drove out all the enemies, or, you know, some of the enemies in the land. You know, and just how God is for his nation is saying, listen, you don't have to necessarily war. You don't necessarily have to do these things. I'll send, you know, my creation, the hornets, ahead of you to take this land. And that's pretty amazing. Now, in our lives, you know, since you've become born again, what has God done? What has God done in your life? Where has he supernaturally broken through in your life, removed stuff? You know, it's by nothing that you have done, and he's just done it, where he's just broken off stuff. And you know what? Just remind yourself quickly. Just take a moment. Just think. Maybe turn to someone, and if you want to just tell them quickly just one thing that you can say that God supernaturally just took out of your life. So just go ahead. Just take a moment. Just tell them quickly. It's good to testify, all right? So if that didn't happen, then tell him something that you really just saw God doing. Take a moment quickly. Or something that he blessed you with. So, after God drives out all these guys from them, before them, we read this following. He says, so I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from their vineyards and their olive groves you did not plant. Now, it's amazing, you know, most of us get born again, and we walk into the church and what God has built here, and it's amazing, we live from the stuff that God has done through those that has gone before us, you know, and I think sometimes we don't give credit enough to those that God has used before us. You know, so maybe there's someone that you need to go back to and say, listen, I just want to say thank you. You know, whether it's your mom that was praying or something that happened in your life, just go back and say thank you. Just, you know, when you sit here, realize how much God has actually done. You're living in a city, if I may call it a city, where God has given you everything and prepared everything for you to grow. And that is pretty cool if you think about it, because, you know, it's not like it's effort in a sense. You walk into Shofar, and I mean, here's all these tools, all these opportunities just to grow. You walk into another church, and there's, you know, whatever the structure is there, there is those that has gone before you that has prepared stuff for you to grow. And sometimes we just need to go, wow, Lord, look what you have done. I mean, those of you that know us, we were in these people for 70 years, 17 years. Oh, you're lucky. I look good for my age. Just the hair left me. Any case, see you. That's all. Huh, Liffy? Combined. No, 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 darum nie. But we went show for these people for 17 years. And after that, we did, I did 5-year Bible school of the different Bible schools that they had over the years. And I tell you one thing, I will not be who I am today if it wasn't for those things. Was it an effort being there and committing to that? Of course it was. Yesterday, I mean, we stayed in Goodwood and then we drove to UCT to attend Bible school. And then, you know, when you come out of Bible school, you got a free gift in someone breaking into your vehicle and stuff like that. You know, it was fun. It was really just absolutely awesome. So God is just saying to the Israelites, hey, listen, wake up. You are living in the land that I've blessed you with. So tonight I want to almost just say to you, hey, you know, stop. Take just a moment and think. What are you living in? You know, this world, we can also can moan. No? We are, can be professional moaners. If I give the mic to you now, I'm sure we can have an awesome service of moaning. I'm sure. Ja, julle lach, want julle weet is waar. All right. But we don't often take the opportunity to say, wow, God, what have you done? What opportunities have you given me? Now listen, just maybe on that side note. Now there's an opportunity to grow. Don't miss it. You know what? You have no guarantee of tomorrow. Next. So if God gives you an opportunity to grow today, maybe you should use it. You know, you don't know what's coming tomorrow. Tomorrow, we think, we always plan and we have this vision of all being well. Right? I mean, I have got good plans. And then tomorrow arrives. And yeah, like my wife has her 40th and that day arrives and it was glorious. And then for the next week, you spend in isolation with our kids and us having salmonella poisoning. For a week. Lekker. What the jol. I mean, tell you, that was knorrerig. In any case, we'll leave that there. But you don't know what tomorrow is bringing. So please don't pass the opportunities that God is placing before you today in preparing what he has given you. Right. Now in verse 14, he takes us on. He says, right, guys, it's time for some decision time. In verse 14, he says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors, the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord is undesirable to you, not that I can think that is, yeah, it's desirable, right? Then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors, the gods that your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. Now he says, listen, firstly, serve God with all faithfulness. Can you see me? With all faithfulness. You know, when I read that, I was like, wow, all faithfulness. What does that mean? It means all faithfulness. So if you are faithful, right? So if you're serving God with all faithfulness, that is quite hectic. So that's the first thing that I want to lift out there, is that serve God with all faithfulness. And you know what? We're not always faithful. We're not always faithful. Because when it's tough, that's when we go. I mean, just think about this. If it's a hectic week at work, and I hope it's not the case, but what's normally the first thing that goes? It's spending time with God, isn't it? Or you'll say, I'll get you on the N1, Lord. And then when you get to the N1, there's this dude in front of you. Here I help. You know, he's going to meet his maker very soon. I know none of you are like that. You're like, Lord, bless that dude. You know, just make him put his flicker on and turn. Jesus, in Jesus' name. You're a healthy O. I never drive like that, you know. I'm sanctified. I tell you. Yeah, no further comment, Your Honor. Let's just leave that. And then the next comment he makes, he says, throw away the gods of your ancestors. Okay, throw away the gods that your ancestors worshipped. Now, listen, coming back to your past. I know none of you had droogemaak when you were, before you got saved, but we have gods from our past. We have stuff that are sitting in our past that are, in a sense, still gods in our lives. Because we are not prepared to throw them away. Because we are not prepared to deal with that thing and say, Klana, enough is enough. So you are, in a sense, worshiping the stuff from your past, the stuff that your ancestors have done, the stuff that you've inherited from your parents or whatever, that stuff still defines who you are. And yeah, he says to the Israelites, hey, listen, I know your ancestors has worshipped these things, but now, throw it away. Because I want you to worship me with all faithfulness. Just deal with that thing. You know, in their day, they were living in tents, and they would used to, you know, dig under their tent, and then they would bury the stuff there. And you know, once sometimes we bury stuff and we think God doesn't see it. And God says, nya, 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 nya. Remember that one story where God actually showed them, and exactly the guy that took the gold and stuff out of Jericho, I think. It's kind of your memory. And then God said this in, yes, he has Arkan, what's his name again? Some other dude. Any case. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting the name. But God shows them exactly where it was buried, in this guy's tent. Now, newsflash, God knows where you've buried stuff. So maybe you should allow him to show you where that stuff is so that he can set you free. Okay, so he speaks about two types of gods here. The first one is the gods of the ancestors, which is, in our lives, I want to relate that to our past. And then, because he speaks of the gods of the Amorites, and the Amorites were in the promised land, he's saying that, yeah, there's gods that you've taken on from the Amorites. And here we stand, and we have a choice, because now we are born again. We're living for Christ, and we're very passionate. But we live in a world which is not. And now there's different pressures, new gods, so to speak, that suddenly confronts you. You know, gods of, materialism, money, these kind of things. Suddenly these things, that, you know, what is success? Success is a big one. What does success look like? God challenged me one day and he said, whose definition of success are you pursuing? The world's or mine? And I went, there's a difference. There's a difference. Because you see, for God, success is pursuing the plans that he has for you. And becoming all that you are supposed to be in him. Yet in this world, success is thy nice car. I mean, for the dudes, the faster, the flatter, the better. And Ali Manasseh? Okay. For the ladies, it's the house and the clothes and the stuff. Ladies? I don't know. But what are you pursuing? What gods of the Amorites, what are you pursuing currently that is not necessarily God's dream for you? Now listen, yes, God wants to bless us. God wants to use you wherever you are. Absolutely. That's not what I'm saying. But you know, when we pursue the stuff more than what we are pursuing our God, that's a problem. Because now the stuff or the success or the money or whatever that you are pursuing is being placed in it's taking priority over God. You know, if I were to sit you down now and I was to ask you a question and saying, so what is God saying for the next 6 months? Can you answer me? If I'm saying, what is God saying for the next year? What will you be able to say? Are you hungry enough to pursue that? And say, God, I'll pursue that more than that paycheck at the end of the month or that plat car. Now, if you're like me now, I've now graduated. For me, the bigger the wheels and the groter the trok, the better I am, because I want to drive when this flat stuff can't drive anymore. So if there's a mountain, we're going over it. Right. No, it's not through a tunnel. Okay, so that's where I am. I'm enjoying the big wheels. Okay, so he says, make the choice. Okay? Get rid of this stuff from your lives. And then Joshua says this, but as for me and my household, we will serve God. Now, it's amazing how in this, Joshua makes this decision. And listen, it is a decision to say that me and my house, we're going to serve God. Now, listen, I understand there's not many that's married yet today. Congratulations. You will get there. Yes. Amen. All right, I was waiting for that. If you want to be laid hands on, listen, I can marry quickly. We can ons maak gou-gou 'n plan hier. Nee. Jy sal deur die premarital sit vir 8 weke before we do that. But, nou het ek skoon van my story af. Okay. Make the decision. You know what? If you don't make that decision, nothing's going to change. And you know what? You're going to make that decision every day of your life. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Every morning when you get up, okay, if it's just me, as for me, I will serve the Lord, right? As for me and my future house, we will serve God. Because I tell you one thing, if you don't start building the principles and the stuff into your life right now, you think when the missus or the dudesters appears, it's going to change. Nee. Because you are supposed, gents, meneere, now get me straight here. There's a very good reason why you are a man. You are supposed to lead. Now, if you can't lead yourself, why should you get a wife? So lead yourself. Okay? Now, ladies, ja, jy het gedink jy is van die hoek af. You better pray for that man. Because he needs God's help. I see that hand. It's 5 rand. Okay. But ladies, obviously you need to prepare yourself as well. And if there's stuff in your lives, get rid of it. Gents, you know when we run the encounters and so on, sometimes people don't want to come. It's opportunity to grow. Opportunity that God wants to get into your life and sort a few things out. Right now, I better speed up here. So Joshua makes that call and he says, look, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. And then just the remaining verses from verse 16 going on, you know, the Israelites basically say, in verse 16 they say, far be it from us to forsake the Lord and serve other gods. Now, sometimes we say that in our lives, in the heat of the moment, far be it from us, we will serve God. And then when tough times come, we go, pause, Lord, I'll be back. All right? It happens. Okay? But again, it's that decision. Now, yeah, in verse 19, Joshua is very straight with his people. He says to them, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God, and he is a jealous God. Now, we need to understand that God is holy. And in the New Testament, he says, be holy as I am holy. Now, holy means set apart, means it's me and you, Lord. I'm like you. It's a mirror image of him, right? And then he says, I'm jealous. God is jealous. Now, think of this. Jealous. God is jealous for your time, for who you are, where you are going. He's jealous over you for the dream that he has for you. That is why he's jealous over you. Because he only wants one thing for us, and that is to pursue the dream and the plan that he has for us. You know, and if we choose the ways, you know, because the Israelites at this moment, the Israelites' track record did not play in their favor. So I can understand Joshua here, because so many times they were going, rah, 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 we will serve God, give us water, gee ons op kalf, you know. And in the heat of the moment, the stuff changed. Because now God is suddenly not providing, so now we want a scalp. What's the calf? What's a calf in English? Yeah, calf. That's the salad thing. In any case. Okay. But so easily we get in situations where we go, God, well, you're not answering. God, you're not answering. God, you're not answering. Okay, I'll make a plan. Is that not true? I've done that. All right. So I can understand that Joshua is getting actually quite passionate. This is not happening because he is holy. See, if you are saying that I want to serve God, please realize that he is saying I'm holy. And therefore he's challenging you to become like him. He's saying to you, come, seek me with all your heart, mind, and soul. Okay. And then verse 23 again, he says, verse 22, he says, Joshua said, because now the people is going, rah, 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 we will serve God. We're going to do this. And Joshua says, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Now, today I want to challenge you, be accountable to those around you for the commitment to serve God. Because if we are not accountable, we will not go anywhere. Now, it's interesting. In Ecclesiastes, I'm going to read that quickly. Oh, I can also read it here. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity the one who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, this is only for married couples, they will keep warm. But how can you keep, yes, you know, how can you keep warm alone? Okay, met baie device en warm kombers en warm water sakkies. Right. Right, no rent of warmness. Okay, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So, if you think about it, God called a nation, Israel. He focused on a nation. God was not planning just to save one person. He started with one, but now he's into nations. And he's saying, I want to save this nation. In the same way, Jesus said, I am building my church. He doesn't say, I'm building one dude or one lady. I'm building my church. So, and if we look at the scripture, it is very evident that it's actually a very good idea to be in a crowd. No? It's even better to sleep with someone else because it's warmer. But it says here a couple of things. If you want to know why you should connect to the body, if you know why you need to become part of what is happening here, then the answer is simple. You are so much more than just on your own. You can go so much further than just on your own, all right? So we have a choice to make. whether we're going to be individualistic in our approach to life, because that is easy. And I see this at Urban quite a lot. At Urban, they are very content in a sense because all they have to worry about is themselves. You know, they're on the street. So as long as they just worry about themselves, life is in a sense easy. Because I've just got myself. But there's groot moeilikheid just living by themselves in any case. So connecting ourselves to what God is doing here. What's that scripture that says one can put 1,000 to flight? No? But it doesn't say two can put 2,000 to flight. What does it say? 10,000. So suddenly there's a multiplication. It's not just ons gaan nou 2,000 uitsort nie. Jy vat jou helfte, ek vat my helfte. It's amazing when the gifts come together, suddenly there's a power to minister and to walk. Okay, so you need to get connected into what God has have for you because that multiplies actually who you are and what God does through you. Okay, so if we just look at that scripture quickly, it says that two are better than because they've got a good return for their labor. So if we work together, suddenly there is more return. I know when I had my business, and it was ek and myself and die twee van ons, I could only do so much. And suddenly I employed a young man that worked with me, and I got a lot more done. Because suddenly I can leave him on a job to go on, and I go fetch spares and come back, and you know, stuff happens. And I actually made more money, even though I had to pay him a salary. And it's the same principle in a sense here. Is if you join into what God is for you, you will grow so much quicker. Okay? Let me just see where this is. The second point I want to lift out from that scripture is accountability. Pity the one who falls alone and no one else can help him up. So if you fall alone, dan jy geval. Congratulations. Suffer in silence. But at least if you fall and there's someone next to you, you know, you've got someone to help you up. You know, in life, we're going to fall. Congratulations, daar sê ons is dis deel van die pret. This is what happens. Life happens. Life is sometimes more tough than it should be. Then we fall. But if you have someone that's next to you, they can help you up. But if we isolate ourselves, how can that person help us up? Okay, and there's care. People that can take care of you. People that can look after you. Just read through that scripture. It's so amazing. And then the last point there is that one can be overpowered. But two, not that easily. So listen, if you surround yourself. It's interesting. Criminals will always go for the person that's sort of alone, right? It's even in animals. You know, the lion will go for the, you know, the lion like hood. Why? Because he's not in the crowd. But when they're in the crowd, it's a bit intimidating. It's me against the lot. And that's the point, you know. If in the church, it's us against so much. But if we separate ourselves from that, how will we grow? How can you walk alone? So tonight, in sharing the story, I realize there's some of us that are just battling with stuff that is in your past. You know, that are idols and so on. And I really trust God to set you free from that stuff. And listen, it's no use not being honest about that. If you're going to dig it in and hide it, yeah, really, sort it out. Because God wants to move us on. Okay? And then there's some of you that maybe here tonight and you've isolated yourself. And you're not part of what God is doing here. And I want to actually, at this point, just take a moment, and I want to show a quick video clip to you. And then after that, I'll conclude, because this is in essence, you know, through this whole story, this is also where I want to go, is what now? From here, the choice that we make, where are we going? How are we being connected? What's happening in our life? So if we can play that clip quickly, can we get the lights? All right. Ladies, I've checked. That box is not for sale. There's just some things that shouldn't be attempted by yourself. Okay? And one of them is really just growing spiritually. So tonight, as part of the service, we want to give you an opportunity. You know, I don't know where you are at, what's happening in your life, but we want to give you an opportunity just to connect. Because I believe God wants to move you forward, and this is part of it. So I've asked the small group leaders if they can just come up quickly. All the small group leaders. No. Right, I'm ready if you're ready. Cool stuff. Right, I want to introduce you. If you're not in a small group tonight, I thought I'll do this just to introduce them to you. Because I've learned that it's easier connecting with a face than a telephone number. So this is the faces behind the phone numbers. All right, you can root for your cell leader. Whoop, whoop. Okay. I've asked them quickly just to share who they are and where their small group is and what time. So if they are sort of close to you, please earmark them and say, yeah, I'm going there.
How's it? I'm James Salvi. We live close to Cape Gate at Glenbourne Park, and our soul is every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. It's normally in Glenbourne Park, either one side of the road or across the road. Yeah, you're welcome to join us anytime. We're doing Bible school. I don't know if we're supposed to mention that. Yeah, not all the cells are Bible school cells. Some of them are normal cells, and some of them are doing Bible school. So we're doing Bible school one, but you're welcome to join.
Hello, my name is Nico van Sail. This is my wife, Marianne, also van Sail.
My friend, Marianne.
we also have a cell group on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. We're about around here, Stellenridge, Eversdal, there's some Uitskieters there in Oude Westhof. So we're around this area if you want to join us. We're just a normal cell. We don't do the Bible school.
Wednesday at 7.
Hallo, my name is Grobler. This is my vrou Erika. Ons cell is... ook 7 uur woensdag, ons is by Uitsig, so Pioneers Uitsig, daai area daar, lekker diverse cel, ons doen nie bybelskool, ons is net normale cel, jongste is, denk 25, oudste 40 something, ek noem die name nie, en, ja, is lekker diverse, ons het Italianers in ons cel, ons het Nepalees in ons cel, maar allemaal enig iemand is welkom, so as julle ken is, asseblief, dankie.
Hello, my name is Wynand. We have a cell in Vier London normally. That's, actually every week it changes, but I have a Vier London, Stellenrijk sometimes. Take a waterfront. We try to actually shift it around so that, it's a bit more of a variety. We're also quite young, too old. I'm the eldest. So, also very diverse, English, Afrikaans, mixed, married, no kids, unfortunately. But, also a very nice cell, Wednesdays at 7. And, you're more than welcome to join.
So they're going to hang around afterwards there at the back. So if you just want to meet with them, you're going to sit by, thank you. Congratulations. I'll say, rent the crowd. I'll say, thank you. So I want to challenge you to get involved there, because that's where you're going to grow. That's where you get looked after. That's where people speak into your life. If you want accountability, that's where it's going to be. And I know from experience, small group is very personal, but it's very cool. And it's not something we want to skip. All right, so afterwards, if you have an opportunity, you can just go there. But can we all stand? And, I want to give an opportunity, firstly, for two things. If you are here tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, then I want to give you an opportunity to respond and give your life to Christ. So if you are standing here and you know that if you die tonight, you're not sure where you're going, and that's you that I'm speaking about. And God loves you so much, and he wants to meet with you. So if you are here tonight, and if we could just quickly close our eyes and give the people an opportunity to say, this is who I am. You know, this is between you and God. It's not about the people around you, and I want you to forget about the people around you. And just think, Is my life right with God? Have I accepted the sacrifice that He has made, and will I serve Him with my whole heart? And if that's not the case, can I ask if there's someone here tonight that want to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? Is there anybody that does not know Jesus Christ in this place? If your heart's beating in your chest like crazy, that is you. Because the Holy Spirit is trying to communicate with you. So is there anybody tonight that like that? That's saying, Lord, here I am. I want to give you my life. Anybody? Okay, it seems like everybody in the sound of my voice knows Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. If you're uncertain, you want to come chat to me afterwards, that's fine. And then I just quickly, if you feel tonight that there's something that you want to deal with in your past, that there's that proverbial idol that is not, that you're not getting rid of, just show me if there's people like that, that you're saying, God, today is today. I'm drawing the line in the sand. I'm getting rid of my past and the stuff that's happening there. I'm just saying no more. So if that's you tonight, can you just raise your hand so that I can just pray for you? Come on, I see a couple of hands. That's cool. It's cool. It's fantastic. Listen, we all have stuff. Nothing to be ashamed of. Life happened. All right. And then, so can I just pray for that quickly? Father, I pray for these people. Lord, I thank you that your plan and your will for us to be free. Lord, I thank you that you love them so much that you want to get rid of that stuff. And I want you just to name that quickly under your breath and just say, Lord, this is what I am referring to. He knows that in any case, but it's good for us just to confess that and say, God, this is it. So, Father, I thank you that you touch these people right now in Jesus' name and you set them free, that they can take the promised land and they can live and they can walk in it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, thank you that you know that exact situation. You know exactly what they're talking about. And that you deliver them right now. So that they can be free. That they can be free. And then those that are not living necessarily in the fullness of what God wants to do for you. In the promised land. Let's just say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Father, I want more of you. I want more of what you want to do. I want more of you this side of salvation. I want to be connected. I want to grow. I want to just shoot out and become all that you want me to be. If that's you, just raise your hand. So, Father, I thank you tonight, Father, that we can just say, here we are. Lord, we want to be more like you. We want to grow in you. We want to become like you. And Father, I thank you that our past is in your hands, that our future is in your hands clearly, and that you will lead us and guide us by your truth. So Father, I pray for your people in this week, once again, that as their cups run over, Father, as what you have done in their lives, that you will just take it into the world out there and that you will just transform and change everything around them. May they be instruments of your love and your power and your majesty wherever you send them. So, Father, I thank you that you've met with us. I thank you that you've spoken to us. And I pray for those that have recognized stuff maybe to do, Lord God, that you will just cause them to do that and you will help them to do that and not leave anything behind. Father, may they be connected. May they have the people that speak into their lives. So, Father, we just thank you for that tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen.